over the last 15 years, we've had a rash of movies in our culture. And movies, as you know, are sometimes a reflection of what's going through the culture's mind or what people are curious about. And a lot of these movies, interestingly enough, center around the apocalypse. The apocalypse is simply a fancy name for the end times, the end of time. Movies like World War Z. Anybody see this movie? I did not. Anybody see it? It's about zombies taking over the planet. Little did I know, and I read up on this, that there's only one way to kill a zombie. You have to obliterate its brains. So things like falling buildings are about the only thing that can kill a zombie. Movies like 2012, anybody see that one? It's about the whole Mayan apocalypse thing, right? And they build these big ships to save people from all over the planet, but basically only the rich get saved, so much for all of us, right? And you can all probably think of movies that you've seen, and many of them surrounding the end times, the end of the world, or the end of life on Earth. And it makes you wonder, how should I be prepared? Should I get a gun, or maybe something giant to fall on a zombie's head, or maybe a spaceship so I can go live on another planet? And yet, Jesus in the gospel today says there's a totally other way to prepare for the end of the world, for the coming of Christ. And he gives three examples. And guys, examples are important. Parables are important because God is sacramental. You've heard me say this before. The nature of a sacrament is it brings into the physical, visible, experiential realm that which we cannot see. So God can't be seen. He wants to tell us something, so he uses tangible, physical things. And Jesus did the same back then. He used stories to convey realities to his disciples. One of those stories, at the very beginning, or halfway through the gospel, really, he says, gird your loins. Now, most of us are probably like, what the heck does that mean, right? Is there anybody here today with baggy pants or baggy shorts? Feel free to turn a sibling in, if that's anybody? Nobody? Well, I was going to use it as an example. But you've all seen the kid walking down the street, haven't you? And his shorts are hanging down to his ankles. And he's got another pair of shorts underneath those shorts just so he doesn't get arrested for public indecency, right? And now what happens if he needs to run? He either trips, right? Or he takes his shorts and pulls them up and he runs, right? And we've all kind of had that experience before, too. Maybe you're working around the house and you're in your jeans and, you know, the more you move around and work, they get looser. And so you got to hike them up and go running. This is kind of the image that Jesus is painting. They didn't have Hanes or Fruit of the Loom back then. They had a giant towel that you effectively wore around your groin. And so, but over throughout the day, it'd get loose. So you got to tighten it up before you go running. And that's the image that Jesus is painting to his disciples. This image is still apt for us today. Because if you think about somebody who's wearing something loose, whether it's a baggy pair of jeans or whatever, they're relaxed, right? They're thinking, I can lay back and be leisurely. Kind of like in last week's gospel. And remember the guy who had the barns? And he thought, oh, now that I've got all this grain in my barns, I can sit back and just enjoy life. Not for the Christian. Jesus says, every day you must take up your cross and follow me. And so the Christian doesn't live with baggy pants, figuratively speaking. He's ready to go all the time. Ready to go all the time. Ready to run the race, as St. Paul says. Another image that he uses is like a thief in the night. Now, most of us live securely. We don't have to go through that experience. And I met a couple people in our parish who have actually had robberies in their home. Thank God they've always been the ones I visited with when they were away. But if you can imagine in the middle of the night being woken up to somebody in your house, and you know it's not your spouse, and it's not your child, and it's not your dog. How frightening that must be. And what do? You don't really think, you react, don't you? Think about a time you've been frightened. You react. And that's where training kicks in. Think about guys who go into the army. What do they send them to first before they send them out to war? They send them to boot camp, right? And they put them through all these scenarios. You guys have seen some of the TV shows with it, or you have family members in the army. I mean, they will use live ordnance right there next to them to give them the feeling of being in war so that they know what it's like, that they get afraid, that their heart starts racing, that they don't know what to do, and their training has to kick in. And it has to be the same in our spiritual lives. Brothers and sisters, when Jesus comes, you're not going to be able to sit there and think, well, I guess go down to church and figure this all out now. No, you got to have it figured out by then. And something's got to kick in. In fact, Jesus says that when He comes, the Christians should hold their head up high, not go cower in a corner. And just like in basic training, these men practice over and over and over every day the same thing. In difficult circumstances, the same thing has to happen in the Christian life. Every day you must practice the same thing over and over in difficult circumstances. Take up your cross daily and follow Me. It's not being free from worry or anxiety or fear or death. It's praying through it every day. Supporting one another. The last image that Jesus uses is my favorite. It was the tradition in their society because remember there were 12 tribes of Judah. And everybody was related distantly as cousins. And they would often marry within their tribe. And it was the tradition that the husband would go off to get his bride. And in getting his bride, he wouldn't just snatch her. He'd contract the marriage with the dad. They'd have a ceremony, a Jewish ceremony, where he gave the bride away to the new husband. And before he left to go get his bride, he would leave instructions for his servants. He would say, "Be ready for Me when I get back because I want to have a big feast for my new bride." And they didn't know when he was getting back. He was going probably to another town to get his bride. He could be gone hours, days, or even weeks. And they had to be ready whenever he got back. So the groom's coming back with his bride and he gets to his house. And if the servants are standing there waiting and watching, they see him coming and they can get everything ready for the feast, right? And what he says is, "Blessed are those servants who even in the second or third watch," guys, that's 12 midnight to 6 a.m. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be in bed. But I want to be ready. Even if he comes in the middle of the night, the servants are supposed to be ready. And this is why it's my favorite thing in the gospel, is because of what happens. Imagine this. The groom picks up his bride and carries her across the threshold. I don't know if they did that back then. Do they even do it today still? I remember I was in Carthage. I was probably about 12 years old. My uncle got married, and we were coming back from the reception, and we came back at the exact same time he came back with my aunt, his new bride. And He picked her up in the parking lot. We stayed in the car because we didn't want to, you know, destroy the moment with the five gangly little kids. And he picked her up, and he moved her through the door, and whack, right on the door frame. It explains a lot now that I think about it. He comes in with his bride. He carries her in to his new home. He wants to serve her this wonderful feast. And what does the scripture say? You would expect that he would sit at the head of the table and his bride would sit right next to him. But it says, no. The groom's going to put on an apron. He's going to let the servants sit at his table. And he's going to wait on them. And brothers and sisters, that is the joy of being a Christian. That is the hope we live for every day. That's why it's worth it to be vigilant. Why it's worth it to go through boot camp. Why it's worth it to know how to kill a zombie. You got to be ready at all times. Because when he comes, he's not there for you to serve him. He's there to serve you.